video recorded message, a part of your Lord's Day worship, and just appreciate all of the cooperation and the effort that our people have put in to staying connected to each other and your spiritual growth as well. I want to say that I certainly enjoyed Wednesday's live message and the responses that I got, and I have got tremendous feedback on the virtual lobby that we did at the end of the message, or the virtual handshaking time, and all of the comments. I have shared that with several preacher and pastor friends, and I got the idea from somebody else, but I think that time was well spent. And I want to thank everybody for participating. This message that you're about to hear is pre-recorded. I love doing the live streams, but we've got Brother Josh McBriar, and I wanted him to be able to be either with his home church on Sunday or where other doors the Lord might open. And hopefully when all of this settles down, he and Miss Mary will be with us there at Progress. But because I was going to do a pre-recorded Sunday message anyway, I asked him to meet me and Brother Shoemaker at Bethel Calvary in Taylor's has graciously offered to share their facility and recording equipment with us. So that is why we are here, and you can see the facility that we're in. But I just appreciate all the good that has come out of what we are currently dealing with. And I am glad that God is in control and that the Word of God is not bound. So without any further ado, I'm going to have a word of prayer and then bring Brother Josh McBriar to the platform. But let me encourage you, get in the Word, get your family together, get your family in the Word. I'll be uploading anywhere from 2 to 4 messages of varying lengths for the Lord's Day. You use those as you would see fit. But again, let me encourage you, draw closer to the Lord. Don't let these difficult times cause you to stray. I love you and appreciate each one of you. Let me remind you, if you need me, call, text, email. Let me or my wife know what your needs are, and we would be glad to do that. One more thing, I told you we were going to pray, but one more thing, the feedback from people who have said co-workers or family members are asking deep, serious, spiritual questions, that has absolutely thrilled me. If you watched the interview I did with Brother Josh, if you are watching these in the order that I've uploaded them, in between the interview and coming in here to do the message, I got another text from a church member who said, "Pastor, a co-worker is asking some really tough questions. Can you help me?" And God is good, and He's at work, and I'm so thankful to be a part of the family of God. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I bless your holy name for your mercy, your grace, your control, your providence, your sustaining grace. Lord, you are good, and beside you there is none other. You are holy, you are righteous, you are mighty. We bless you, we magnify you, we glorify you. Lord, we take nothing for granted. Lord, we're sorry for the times that we have, but you have shown us in just a few short days that all things come from your hand. And we cannot do without you, and we wouldn't want to if we could. We thank you for saving us most of all. I'm glad our hope is not in this world, but it is in things eternal. And I thank you for what you have done and are doing. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Josh McBriar and his wife, Mary. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for their consistency. Thank you for the blessing that they have been over the years to Progress Baptist Church. And I pray that you would let us be a blessing back to them. Use them mightily, protect them, surround them, Lord, and use them in your work. Lord, you know the difficult field where they've, where you have sent them. And I thank you for the joyous way in which they have accepted that call. Lord, and I ask you, Lord, just to give unto them many times over, Lord, souls for the kingdom of God. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for your word, the Holy Spirit, the church, all the things that we enjoy as believers. We thank you for those. Bless my brother. Lord, may this medium of distance preaching, recorded message, a camera, Lord, may none of that distract him. May he have unusual power and liberty, and we'll give all the glory to our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Josh, you come. Take all your liberty and just let the Lord use you, my brother.
Okay, thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I'm going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. This is, I don't know if I've ever been in a situation before where I've preached in a church that was empty via live stream or via recording. But by the grace of God, I will try to give you the message that God gave me for today. Mary and I, we arrived back in the States. We arrived back on the evening of the 17th. And since then, a lot of churches had been closing and doing the live stream. And there's very few churches that were open. And but we've been able to be in a few. And one of the churches that we were in, I was able to preach on God hath not given us a spirit of fear. And in these days, a lot of people are afraid. But there's no need for a Christian to be afraid. You know, God said in John chapter 10, the Son of God said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And so God's children have eternal hope. Revelation chapter 13 or 14, it said, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. There's hope and there's peace in being in Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that people want to die, but there's no need to fear. And so God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But then at another church, I preached on the end of the world. I've heard people make comments about this COVID-19, this coronavirus. And friend, according to the Bible, the coronavirus is not the end of the world. It could be a precursor before prophetic things that I don't know about. I don't know. You know, who hath known the mind of the Lord? But I do know some things that God gave us in the Bible. And the coronavirus is not the end of the world. There are many things that are to come. And those judgments that will shake this world are far more severe. But God is ever merciful, and he is calling sinners to repentance. And he's also being merciful to the church. Notice 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward. And that's talking to saved people. Peter included himself there. God is being longsuffering towards the church, because the book of Ezekiel chapter 3 said that if we fail to warn the wicked men of their wicked way, their blood will be required at our hands. Friend, I have a feeling, and that's the direction I'm going to go today, but I have a feeling that God is not satisfied fully with what Christians are doing for him. You know, the book of Revelation, chapter 3, he talks about hot Christians and cold, or saved people who are hot, and those are cold, and those who are lukewarm. And you know, I wonder, are we really doing everything that God wants us to do? Mission fields are empty. Churches looking for pastors. And you can't tell me that the Holy Spirit is not calling people, that the Holy Spirit is not drawing people. I'll be honest. I think if people are honest, how many times on Sundays after the preachers preach and the invitations are given is the Holy Ghost knocking on the hearts of saved people, asking them to do something, and people are telling him no, because they're not doing the will of God. They're doing the will of themselves. But the end of the world, you know, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. And it could be tomorrow. Who knows when but he is coming. And but my friend, things are going to get far worse after he comes. And so that being said, I believe with all of my heart that God led me this direction today. The last time I preached on the end of the world from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And it tells us that there's going to be this falling away, and then there's going to be the rapture, and then this Antichrist is going to come on the scene, and that this Antichrist, he's going to deceive many. And there's going to be a strong delusion sent from God, and there's going to be many people who've heard the gospel and had the opportunity to be saved, but they rejected the love of the truth. And they chose rather to follow the way of unrighteousness. And because of that, God's going to send them strong delusion. They're going to believe the lies of the Antichrist, and they will not be saved. And Revelation tells us that the smoke of their torment will ascend up forever and ever before the throne of God. And how sad and how sobering that is in two thoughts. That Christians ought to be what we ought to be. And we ought to be doing what God told us to do. And sinners need to repent and believe the gospel. The Son of God said in Luke chapter 13, verse number 3, nay, I tell you, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Somebody said, what does it mean to repent? Well, I like to use what the Bible said it means to repent. Amen. Luke chapter 13, verse 3, it said, nay, I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse 9, defined biblical repentance. It said how that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. John chapter 3 verse 19 says this is the condemnation. That means this is why people go to hell. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It goes on to say, neither cometh to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. People go to hell. Hey, they might believe that Jesus is real. They might believe that God is real. They might believe that everything in this book that is written is true. But if they have never turned to Jesus Christ and received him by faith, they have not repented and believed the gospel. And our message to this world, and our message in the time of this virus should be to sinners, are you looking for hope? Are you looking for peace? Are you looking for mercy? Are you looking for salvation? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Turn to the Lord. Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 45, verse 22, the God of heaven said, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. He's the only one who can tell us how to be saved, and that's what he said. But that being said, and by this live recording, or this recording, I hope I don't misspeak, but that being said, I would like to read something here. The coronavirus has affected every person in this world in some way. Countries are closing their borders. Economies are crumbling and shaking. The sports gods have been canceled. Think about that. How many times have we walked into churches and rather than God's name being glorified, people are talking about their sports god? And then they get quiet for the preacher to preach and the people to sing, and they're right back up to their sports god. My friend, God has dethroned the sports god this season. God is, and I'm not trying to get ahead of myself, let me continue. The sports gods have been canceled, and the leaders of all nations are powerless. You know, you can ask anybody in the world, and they'll tell you that they say that the president of the United States has the most powerful office in the world, and yet he's powerless. He's powerless. God is trying to get this world's attention. God has put it in a place where this whole world is forced to look up to God. Whether they acknowledge him or not, receive him or not, whatever, they are forced to realize in their soul that a higher power has control over all of this. The Son of God said in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Perhaps this is a warning shot across the bow. Perhaps God is trying to wring church's attention. My friend, it's sad. Churches are siding against the Bible and going with the world. There are doctrines that God wrote in this book. And rather than a Christian standing up and saying, this is what God said, they turn their back to it. In churches, the stand from the pulpits in many churches are siding against God. God will not let this go on forever. Maybe this is a warning shot across the bow that Christians should get right with God. And then maybe this is a warning shot across the bow of unbelievers. My friend, death is certain, and we all have an appointment with it. It is appointed unto man once to die. That rich man who died, hey, he had his comfortable life, and you know, he had all the things he wanted. But when his eyes shut in death, he dropped into a fiery hell. And 13 miles below our feet, he screams in eternal fire, begging God for mercy because he rejected the love of the truth. My friend, if you're not saved, I plead with you today, turn to Jesus Christ and receive the free pardon of sin. And Christians, God, I believe with all of my heart, is forcing the whole world. Just think about it. It doesn't matter what I believe. Look at reality. God has made the whole world realize they're powerless. And we have to look to heaven. We have to look to heaven. Well, this is what God said. Well, let me continue where I was for a minute. Churches have been forsaken the Bible. Millions of babies are being aborted worldwide. Here we are, shut a country down over, I don't even know if 2,000 people died. Yet we murder millions of babies every year. And that's not considered a pandemic? Just a thought. The sodomite agenda is trying to take over this world. I love people. I love people. And I want to see sodomites get saved. My friend, the only way they're going to get saved is by telling them the truth in love. Telling them that Jesus Christ is God. And this is what the law of God said. And except you repent and believe the gospel, you shall all likewise perish. Whether you're a thief, whether you're a religious person who has not done very many bad things in your life and you sit on a church pew, if you've not been saved, you have no hope. The sodomite agenda is trying to take over this world. And this world is waxing more and more wicked. Jesus is coming one day. And the future judgments of Revelation will be much more severe than this COVID-19. God wants sinners to be saved. But one day his mercy will end and judgment will rain down. Sinners need to repent and trust Christ. And Christians need to look to God. And you know, I've heard a lot of thoughts about this virus. You know, from me and my wife, we live on the China-North Korea border, and we've heard that all this stuff came from somebody eating a bat. That's the first thing we heard. Then we heard that it came from eating some other animal. And then we heard that it came from somewhere else. We've heard conspiracy theories. We've heard all these things. You know, friend, all I know is this. Wherever it came from, the world is in a position where we have to look to God. We're in a position where we have to look to God. Sure, there's wicked people behind all of this doing a bunch of wicked agendas. We need to look to God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 13, 14, and 15. This is what God said. God said, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Do you notice those words there, if I? It's God that said in the book of Deuteronomy, and I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember the quote or the reference, but God said that he lifts up his hand to the heaven and says, behold, I live forever. God has all the power, not the devil, not the world, not the wicked people who control things in this world, but God has all the power. He said, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. If I come in the locusts to devour the land. Do you remember those plagues sent on Israel? You know what all of those plagues were? They were to get somebody's attention. God was trying to get somebody's attention. God was sending a message. God was sending a warning. And you know what happened? Through all those plagues, hearts got harder and harder and harder. Hey, I wonder how many Christians are going to harden their heart to God trying to get their attention. I wonder how many lost people are going to harden their heart and ultimately end up in hell with God trying to get their attention. He said, if I send pestilence among my people. I looked up that word pestilence in the Strong's Concordance in the Hebrew word. This word pestilence, it can mean pestilence. It can mean pandemic or something like a disease. And it can mean a moraine. I don't think that pandemic was the word, but it could mean a sickness or an illness. And here God said, if I send it. You know, there's times in the Bible that God allowed wicked people to do things to accomplish his goal. You remember that in the book of Samuel, where God was on his throne in heaven and an evil spirit came before him. And God said, who can go and destroy Saul for me? And that wicked, lying spirit said, I can do it. And God said, go do it. God is in control of everything. Even the devil, whatever he does, he has to get his approval from God. This is what the Bible said. God said, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. If I command the locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence among my people, my friend, I'm certain, and I know you are too in your soul, that this world is not innocent and this is just some accident. No, friend. God has caused 151 countries to have to look to heaven for help. Maybe even more than that. Airlines are shutting down. Countries have closed their borders. Well, this is what God said. Verse 14, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You say, preacher, this is a promise to Israel. I say, you're right. It's a promise to Israel that God gave us to read. And I believe with all of my heart that God can still answer prayer today in the same way. If God sent this pestilence among our land, certainly he could take it away. Amen. Let me say this. Are you one of his? He said, if my people. If you're one of his, then there's only one way you got that way. And that's by having heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Knowing that you were a sinner condemned to hell. That you were guilty without hope and without God in this world. And that you, realizing Jesus Christ is God, and recognizing that you are a sinner, that you repented, that you turned to Jesus Christ and received salvation by grace through faith. That's how we become one of his. There's no other way. That's what the Bible says. If my people, let me ask, are you one of his? If we're one of his, this is the response that God is looking for. Now, think about this with me. This is not the response of everybody in churches. But it should be. If my people, which are called by my name. He said, if my people, are you one of his? Then he said, which are called by my name. God's name is holy. Look with me in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 57. Yeah. Isaiah, chapter number 57. In verse number 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. My friend, his name is holy. Do we treat him like he's holy? You know, the angels in the book of Revelation, the cherubim, they fly through the heavens crying, holy, holy, holy. Why? Because he's holy. The Lord God Almighty. If my people, are you one of his? Which are called by my name. If we are his, we need to realize he is holy. He is holy. He is holy. That word holy can be perverted in many people's minds. That word holy does not mean that you don't wear white socks or buy your groceries at Walmart. That word holy means that we are according to the word of God. The Son of God said, be holy, for I am holy. If my people, which are called by my name, are we one of his? Well, his name is holy. And he commands us in the New Testament to be holy. Are we holy? Are we holy when church members mock at the Bible? You know what the Bible said about that? Fools make a mock at sin. When church members mock at the Bible for the preacher preaching what God said about being holy. About coming out from among them and being separate, saith the Lord. Amen. About being modest and godly, not only in our apparel, but definitely in our apparel. Sure. But in our heart, in our speech, in our mind, in every aspect of our life, God would have us to walk circumspectly and to walk holy. If my people, which are called by my name, are we one of his? If you're one of his, there should somewhere deep down in the core of your heart be a respect for the fact that God is holy. Amen. God is not just somebody's buddy who buddies up and makes a backroom deal with somebody. God doesn't do that. God is holy. And there's one way to be right with God. Submit to what he said and do what he said. God does not yield himself to our desire. God expects us and demands of us to yield ourselves to his desire. If my people, which are called by my name, his name is holy, friend. He's holy. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. He didn't say here if he humbled them. And friend, I would say that we don't want God to humble us. You look at what God had to do to humble Israel. You look at what God had to do to humble people in the Bible. It's not something that we want to go through. God said if they will humble themselves, even here, is an offer of mercy. That if you and I would realize the need to humble ourselves and get right with God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. The Bible said God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. If we would humble ourselves, not look at other people and blame them and say, well, he done this and he done that. Hey, friend, we're all guilty before God. Humble ourselves. There, the holy man of God, Nehemiah, the holy man of God, Ezra, the Bible said that the good hand of God was upon them. And they themselves knew that they needed to pray, God, forgive our sins. If my people, which are called by my name, his name is holy. Are you one of his? He's holy. We shall humble ourselves. God help me. God help us to humble ourselves. How do we humble ourselves? Like this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. How do we humble ourselves? We hearken unto what he said. He gave us the guideline to hearken to pray to him, to seek his face, and to turn from their wicked ways. I wonder if there's somebody who listens and they hear this and they say, okay, I'm willing to pray. Oh, I'm willing to seek God. Oh, but I'm not willing to turn. I remember hearing the testimony. My former pastor, Dr. Aiken, he told us about when the revival fell at Tabernacle, or before Tabernacle started. He said Dr. Seitler got up in the pulpit one day in Pelham, South Carolina, and said, church, we are dead. Said, we have baptized 2 or 3 people this year. He said, where's the power of God? Amen. And there's churches that haven't baptized 2 or 3 people in years. And Dr. Seitler opened the doors of the church. And he said to the church members, he said, we're not meeting to congregate. He said, the doors will be open 24 hours a day. He said, if you work second or third shift, or come in the morning, come at night, when the ladies drop the kids off at school or whatever, if you want to come and seek God, the doors of the church are open. And Dr. Aiken said that they prayed for 22 weeks. It wasn't just an organized time. The doors were open whenever somebody wanted to come talk to God. And one day, fire fell from heaven. I'm not talking about a literal fire. I'm talking about something much more powerful. Spiritual fire. And hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people began to get saved. Preachers were called. Churches all over the upstate were started. Missionaries sent all over the world. Because they prayed. And they sought God's face. And they turned from their wicked ways. These three things, they work together. You can't separate them. The book of Psalms said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. That tells us, that word will tells us two things. It means he's not going to and he doesn't want to. If we're going to pray, if we're going to seek God's face, we have to realize that we are seeking the face of holiness. And God said in the book of Exodus, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. That means that he will clean us up. That we must turn from our wicked ways and seek his face. So if my people, are you one of his? Which are called by my name. He's holy and his name is holy. If these people of the holy God of heaven would humble themselves. This holy God of heaven said, all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. He said, if we'd humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, he said, then will I hear. You want God to hear? I'll never forget when I first got saved. I heard Brother Mark Stroud preach in a youth meeting. And he just made a comment that I haven't forgotten in 13 years. It was a random comment in the middle of his message. He said, ladies, you need a husband that when he prays, God pays attention. Friend, I say amen. What a profound statement. But even more, we should all seek to be a type of Christian that when we pray, God pays attention. He said, then will I hear. Hey, you want to know if God is hearing our prayer? It's right here. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. He said, then I'll hear. And he said, then healing will come. And that healing, he said it would be a spiritual healing and it would be a physical healing. God is able. God is able. Now notice with me the last thing and I'll be done. Verse 15. He said, now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Here you have Solomon dedicated the temple. He prayed this prayer to God, and Solomon had asked God, God, if you shut up the heavens, If you and there's no rain, God, if you send a locust to devour the land, God, if you send a pestilence. And he said, God, if your people come back and they humble themselves and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, God, would you heal them? And God showed up and said, Solomon, I have a message for you. And God said, if I do this and they do this, I will do this. Right here, God said, his eyes are open. He's watching. He said, mine ears are attent. He's listening unto the prayer that is made in this place. He's looking at hearts. He knows. I wonder. I believe, think about it with me, friend. The whole world is in a position to have to look at God. That's what God told me to preach today. I pray that it will help somebody. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, mercies, and grace, for the sweet forgiveness of sins, for the blood of Jesus that washed our sins as white as snow. I pray that you'll use this message to somehow help somebody for the glory of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Josh. As we close this service that I hope you're using on the Lord's Day, but whenever you watch it, I'm sure it'll be a help to you. A song came to mind as Brother Josh was preaching. I want to read one verse of Cleanse Me. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, and know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Years ago, a famous politician said, don't let any crisis go to waste. Now, they said it with the motive of, we're going to use that to usher in our agenda. I'm not going political here today, but as the preacher concluded that message, I thought, don't let this crisis go to waste. Brother Shoemaker, if 3 weeks from now or 3 months from now, we're just like we were 4 weeks ago, we wasted a very good opportunity to draw nigh to God. Pastor Shoemaker and I've talked to several preachers today. I think it was he and I a couple hours ago, but it may have been this morning in a meeting I was in with a few preachers. This comment was made, we've never seen anything like this, have we? And I know our country has, but we as individuals have not. And let's don't let it go to waste. Let's draw nigh to God. If you're enjoying family time, if you're reaching out to loved ones that you've taken for granted, all that's well and good. But let's let spiritual benefit come out of these times. And boy, what a text. What a text. If my people, we want sinners to repent. Sinners aren't going to repent until the church does. And let's use this time to draw nigh to God. God bless every one of you. We will stay in touch with you and continue to upload services and messages and do things live. But I appreciate you. God bless you, church family.